You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Phone calls are welcome. We'll talk to the Heisman Trophy winner, Carson Palmer. We'll stop by in about 20 minutes. We'll recap what we saw yesterday. Got a game coming up tonight. The banged up Ravens against the Raiders. First time that new stadium in Las Vegas will have fans in the mix. Poll question, McLovin. Are we staying with the old or are we bringing in the new?
We can switch it up. The hour two was, which is the best surprise of week one? And the Texans run away with it, actually. Okay. How about the most nondescript week one performance? Okay. Unfortunately, I have such a runaway winner, I don't know who else to put in this poll.
Okay, let's see if we can guess the most nondescript team performance.
I think you could say team and player.
Team and player. Nondescript.
Yeah, and they're the same.
Okay. Anybody want to guess? Paulie?
I know, Andrew. I think it's the Panthers.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty nondescript, but they won. So this is actually nondescript in a more negative way.
Nondescript performance.
By the way, I don't think we've mentioned the Panthers once all show. We've mentioned all 32 teams, so maybe Paul's right.
Yeah, because it was really more about the Jets, Zach Wilson, than it was the Panthers. Yes, he.
The Colts?
They're pretty nondescript, but no.
Okay. Fritzy?
They belong on the poll. I like that.
Fritzy?
Washington? That game just kind of happened. They had the lead, and the Chargers came back and beat them.
Oh, by the way, the Washington football team apparently is going to lose Ryan Fitzpatrick for an extended amount of time with the hip injury. The Washington football team has signed a quarterback to the practice squad. He, I think, used to play in the SEC.
Let us have it.
His name is Kyle Shurmur. I think he played at Vanderbilt.
Not Auburn, not Cam Newton.
No, it's not. I think it's difficult to bring in Cam just because of the offense that you run. It's different than what you run with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Even with that relationship with Ron Rivera, if they were bringing in Cam Newton, they would have brought him in when Ron Rivera got there in the first place. It's going to take an injury to a good team for Cam to get that opportunity. I think if Ryan Fitzpatrick was, I would feel more confident with Taylor Heineke. I like what I saw with him last year instead of bringing in Cam Newton. Yeah, McLovin.
Doesn't Kyle Shurmur sound like a guy we should know? Like, oh, they got Kyle Shurmur, but I've never heard of him. Yeah, we know Kyle. Yeah, he's a longtime backup, Kyle Shurmur.
The nondescript. Yeah.
I'll give you a hint. The nondescript, Kyle Shurmur's dad once coached this nondescript
Fritz
team.
Shurmur.
And Pat Shurmur, who's Fritz Shurmur's son.
The Vikings.
No, the New York football Giants have to be the most nondescript team. And Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones, did he throw for one and run for one, but had a late fumble there?
Yeah.
Another fumble.
He outrushed Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
How about that for the hour three poll? Put the Panthers, the Colts on there.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Yeah.
Anyone else who you were just like, I can't watch this? Were you immediately flipped?
No, because it was week one, and I was generous this weekend. I'll go back to what Friday night I'm watching Kansas play Coastal Carolina.
Good game.
I'm like, all right, I'm kind of entertained by this. But it was a standalone on Friday. It's like when you're on a plane and they have in-house movies, you'll watch something you would never watch just because, well, I'm on a flight, I got to watch something. And that's the way I felt Friday night, all alone in the basement, watching the game. And I thought, you know, maybe Kansas can do something here. Maybe, you know, because they got a coach who's been successful and at different stops. And I thought, okay, maybe going to get something going here. I think he won a few national titles, Division III, Wisconsin Whitewater. Yes, Todd.
And isn't there something visually pleasing and comforting? I found it in that aqua kind of teal field. And
no,
the
I don't like
blue.
Teal. I don't like teal.
I think there's just something relaxing about that light blue look of the Chanticleers that makes
I don't like teal. No, I don't like teal. I go back to when the Charlotte Hornets gave us teal. Did anybody have teal? Well, the Dolphins had teal. But I just remember when Charlotte Hornets with Alonzo Mourning and Larry Johnson had teal. And I went, I don't know. And I think Perry Ellis designed them, had the pinstripes. Yes, Paul.
I think it was Alexander Julien was the designer.
Oh, okay.
Who hooked up with the Hornets. I'm acting like I don't know.
Alexander Julien.
I think. I mean, you might be wrong.
No, it might be. Okay. Alexander. Yeah, it might be. But yeah, teal, no, not big on it. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. Cleveland Browns, once again, have not won a season opener since 2004. And in case you're counting, 121-1, the worst week one mark in the league since rejoining the league in 1999. The Steelers, by the way, the most comeback wins from 10 or more points down. This is since the start of the 2020 season. Chiefs are tied for second with the Buccaneers and the Saints with 4. Matthew Stafford, nice debut. Highest quarterback rating for his first game with a new team in the Super Bowl era. Minimum 20 pass attempts. His quarterback rating, 156.1. Jameis Winston only threw... 148 yards. It's the most economical performance, I think, in NFL history. He had 5 touchdowns and 148 yards. How many yards did Aaron Rodgers throw for?
15 less.
15?
Not as economical.
No, he was not.
Maybe he tried to be too economical.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Apparently, the... do you have the Matt LaFleur soundbite? Like, This to me, if I'm an owner and I hear this and I go, man, I'm going to put this on you, the coach. Like, your team is not ready or they're more ready than you. Here's Matt LaFleur.
They obviously came out with a lot more intensity than we did. They were the hungrier team, and that's disappointing, especially when you have a team like we feel we have, the leadership. But ultimately, I did a pretty bad job getting these guys ready to play.
Okay, how do they come out with more intensity than you do? And do you know that before the game where you're kind of looking around the locker room going, he's not intense. No, he's not. Oh, he's intense. Ooh, I got to get our intensity up here. It's the opening weekend of the NFL season. Like, you're going to be more intense in week 9? Yes, Eden.
It's kind of like with a shoulder shrug. Yeah. Okay, let's go play.
Yeah. Oh, we got a game. Oh, we have a game today.
You know what's another great sign, too, is that Matt LaFleur is like, yeah, they embarrassed us today. And Aaron Rodgers is like, well, I don't know if I'd use those words. I'm like, oh, my God.
they can't get on the same page even when.
Never misses an opportunity petty to just dig in. Well, I don't know if I'd say that.
All right. But Aaron Rodgers had this to say about the loss to the Saints.
This is a good kick in the you-know-where. Hopefully get us going in the right direction, going back home and playing division opponent next week.
Was he going front or back there? It was a good kick in the backside or groin side?
You-know-wheres.
Yeah. A couple of phone calls here, best and worst of the weekend. David in Arkansas. David, welcome to the program, best and worst of the weekend.
They call me Pittsburgh Dave. I got 2 best of the weekend. Okay. Definitely a double best. First, my Hogs taking the Longhorns to that proverbial woodshed.
Sweet!
Yes, exactly. And then, yes, my wonderful Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday opening up. And, yes, I would say being a nice surprising win. Now, I would like to give you, I hope if you can live with this, a nice live reading or live rendition of Whose Stats Do You Want?
Okay, I think.
Okay, now this definitely goes out to my buddy there in the front right. Here are 2 player stats here, and we may disagree. When you see them side by side, it's tough to make a choice. You can choose from player A or stats from player B. I will choose these stats right here. Who stats do you want?
All right. Well, thank you, David.
There you go.
A little Rush for Paulie there.
A cappella.
Yeah.
Had almost like a Jethro Tull vibe to it.
Sitting on a park bench.
You can tell there should have been a flute somewhere behind him.
Who stats do you want? I have to go see Jethro Tull. I've never seen Jethro. I don't? I don't know.
Just go to any Renaissance fair, and there's a dude who's just like Jethro Tull.
Mo in Arizona. Hi, Mo. Good to have you back. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, guys. I'm not sure how to follow that, but I guess I'll go with I have two worst and one best.
Okay.
My best is watching Trey Area throw his first touchdown pass of the season, which this let us know there's something more to come. My two worst are I did not Detroit's number, so I could get my he owes me a shower.
Oh, we lost you, Mo. Yeah. I hate when somebody holds for over an hour and then they have a bad connection. I feel bad.
Because they were like, you know what? An hour ago, my connection was fine. But progressively over the course of the last 60 minutes, it's gotten worse. So
this summer's college football realignment drama didn't really include the Pac-12. The conference wasn't a player in the whole conversation with Texas and Oklahoma. And that left they left the Big 12 for the SEC. Everybody went into scramble mode. But the Pac-12 hasn't had a team in the Final Four since Washington back in 2016. The conference has already delivered two surprising wins, UCLA roughing up LSU in Los Angeles, and then this week, Oregon shocking Ohio State in Columbus. And the wins make a major statement here. No one's going to confuse today's Pac-12 with the SEC, but you got a couple of interesting teams here. Oregon and UCLA look good, schedules that could make them a factor down the road, and maybe the conference gets back into the national title picture. But at least some of their programs appear to be headed in the right direction. And that's a big step for a conference that's been falling behind in recent years. USC was a 17-point favorite against Stanford. And now you have UCLA doing well. And that makes it even worse. Notre Dame, 17-point favorite against Toledo. They at least survived against Toledo. We've come up with a new, is it a law, a bylaw, a demand? If you lose to a team, like Florida State lost to Jacksonville State, if it's an FCS versus FBS and the BS beats the CS, you must go to their place the following year. Florida State now has to go to Jacksonville State. If Notre Dame had lost, then Notre Dame should go to Toledo the following year. If you're going to get beat by a team like that, then you must go to their place the following year. Yeah, Paul.
We may even stretch it. Alabama was given 54 to Mercer, and Mercer covered. The score is 48-14. Alabama should go to Mercer next year.
Nick Saban was not thrilled.
No.
He's a bang the podium guy, and he was not pleased with the performance there. One more phone call, we'll take a break. Corey in San Diego. Hi, Corey. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. Aloha. I just got back from my honeymoon from Hawaii.
Oh, so awesome.
Shout out to our friend out there in Hawaii.
Ryan.
Secondly, excuse me. Shout out to Jeff in Detroit for losing against my Niners yesterday. I appreciate that. And finally, Mark Sanchez was a great color commentary guy. My favorite line of the entire day was third in a Walmart parking lot.
Oh,
all right.
Okay. I like that. Thank you, Corey. Yeah, Mark Sanchez. RG3 tried to make a joke about Jameis Winston and crab legs. RG3 now working for the mothership. I felt like a reach there by RG3. Like we've been down that road a long, long time ago with the crab legs. Did you guys see that quote, hear that quote pull it up, and I don't know what, you know, RG3, and you got to have a hot take or whatever, but I would, if he would have said, hey, I'm workshopping this, what do you think? And I go, nah, how about we stay away from that? Nah. I probably wouldn't go with that. Did you find it, McLovin?
Yeah, it just says RG3 is getting ripped for his crab legs jokes. He's apparently said a series of tweets.
Yeah,
he had
a couple of them. Yeah, Paul.
He posted Robert Griffin III. After beating Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, Jameis Winston is now requesting strategy meetings with the Saints brass and demanding 5 crab legs, 1 for every touchdown he threw, to be placed in his locker every day for consumption.
Yeah.
Eh, a little wordy for a joke.
Yeah, that's a big windup. We're used to that from Todd.
Yeah, that didn't go.
That's not good.
For it to be not funny and to not deliver it properly because it's too wordy is a problem.
And you're an expert.
I sure am.
Let's take a break. Carson Palmer will join us coming up next. Your phone calls as well. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Well, that was fun. Football this weekend. But it's only 1 week. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, putting you in the center of all the action for week 2. New customers get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. First deposit. And that's all you need to do. And you sign up using the code Patrick. Get in on all the action. It's simple. Pick your lineup. Stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Download the DraftKings app now. Use the code Patrick this week. New customers get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter code Patrick and get a free shot at the millions in total prizes with your first deposit. So that's code Patrick only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Promo code is Patrick. Free shot at millions of dollars, DraftKings.com. Good luck. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. More phone calls coming up. Carson Palmer, Heisman Trophy winner at USC, former NFL quarterback. His appearance brought to you by our partner, Level Select CBD. Looking for your next level relief? Visit levelselectcbd.com. Let me start with the Rams and Matthew Stafford last night. Could it have gone any better for Matthew Stafford?
No, it was great to see him in a different uniform, surrounded by a ton of talent. Obviously a great coach on his sideline, and I think we'll continue to see him flourish as the season moves forward, and we see him to get more and more comfortable with those guys around him.
But you also have a quarterback who didn't have talent in Detroit. Like, how much can we put on Matthew Stafford with the failures of the Lions? Because we're going to give him a lot of credit with the Rams because he has talent, but the quarterback gets too much credit and too much blame.
True, but at the same time, I think the quarterback position is really a it's so important to have the right organization surrounding you. There's been plenty of quarterbacks that have gone to the right place and had much better careers in the right place, the right organization, than them going to a bad organization like Detroit. I mean, Detroit's been struggling for a long time. You know, we've heard the stories, you know, inside and out from back in the days. You know, and Stafford was there for 12 years. He gave it his best shot. He had some talent around him at times, but, you know, seeing him in L.A. with that kind of offense, that kind of system, and you know, there was a lot of talk about him not being able to play the game outside the pocket and do all the bootlegs and play action stuff that they did. But, man, he looked good last night getting outside the pocket and throwing on the run.
But these rookie quarterbacks come in, and they're ready to go. Or at least we think they are. But the mental part of this, though, Carson, I'm curious about, because you sat your first year behind John Kitna. But, like, physically, were you more ready than mentally, or maybe the other way around?
Well, these guys are coming into the league physically ready. I mean, these are, you know, look at Trey Lance in San Francisco. I mean, physically gifted, quick, fast, explosive arm, accurate. But it just takes some time. I mean, it just takes that – You know, a couple seasons of getting used to being on third down, third and long, backed up in your own territory, in the red zone with the game on the line. There's so many things that you need as a quarterback to develop. And a majority of those things you need outside of having a great organization and a really good play caller is experience. And until these young guys have experience and a bunch of plays and a bunch of different situations under their belt, they're not completely mentally ready, but these guys are coming into the league right now physically ready, without a doubt.
How overwhelmed did you feel first year starting?
Well, I had that first year to sit and rest, so I didn't feel overwhelmed. But had I played in that week one game my rookie year, you know, I absolutely would have felt overwhelmed. I mean, there's so much you don't know about this game. And like I said, it just takes reps and it takes experience.
Yeah, I'm always curious about that. Then you have a bad game, and then it stays with, like, the pros are able, the veterans can move on. Like, you have to have a short memory, it feels like. But it feels like a rookie is going to hold on to that bad interception he had or a bad loss a little bit longer.
Absolutely. I mean, until you've proven yourself to your teammates that you can get over a bad loss, a bad play that lost a game, until you can prove that to your teammates and yourself, you don't know. I mean, if you can go to college like Kyler Murray did at Oklahoma and in 1 year go out there and play amazing and win a Heisman Trophy and almost a national championship, but until you do it at the NFL level, until you prove it to yourself, hey, I can go out in week one and lay an egg and I can bounce back in week two and have 110 passer rating, you know, you don't know you can do it until you do it. And you're seeing some of these young guys struggle. I mean, you watched Trevor Lawrence play yesterday, and it was a struggle. But that kid has the right mentality, the right makeup. I expect him to bounce back. It might not be in week two. It might not be in week three. But I would pretty much take any bet right now saying that Trevor Lawrence is not going to be a bust. He will be a successful NFL quarterback.
How do you explain Aaron Rodgers yesterday?
Man, this position, even when you're Aaron Rodgers, the position of quarterback is so difficult. When you put extra pressure on yourself, I mean, Aaron has asked for all the pressure, all the criticism you could possibly ever ask for. And it is so difficult. Even when you're as talented and gifted as Aaron, there's a lot of pressure on him to succeed. There's a lot of pressure on him to perform. It just goes to show you that even Aaron Rodgers can get rattled. He looked rattled from the jump. I mean, he looked like he was uncomfortable. He couldn't settle in and find his feet. He was harassed all day in the pocket. And that might be a little bit of this offseason catching up to him. There's no doubt in my mind Aaron will bounce back and have a Pro Bowl type caliber year. No doubt about it. But he looked extremely rattled yesterday.
How do you explain Patrick Mahomes to those who might not have witnessed Patrick Mahomes?
He's magic. There's a couple of guys in the league. They are just magicians. Russell Wilson jumps out at the top of my mind. He just does things that you don't expect him to be able to do. Patrick Mahomes, as much as we think he's great and he's got this big arm and he's Houdini, he just makes some plays that we didn't even think he could make. But there's just a handful of guys in this league right now that have magic about him, and he's one of them.
Talking to Carson Palmer, former NFL quarterback and, of course, Heisman Trophy winner. Are gloves performance enhancing?
Absolutely not.
For a wide receiver?
No. I mean, they're when I think of performance enhancing, I think like everybody else, you think of something you're injecting or ingesting in some form or another. But if putting on gloves is performance enhancing, then so are shoulder pads and helmets.
Well, but it helps you catch the ball.
Yeah, and a pair of shoulder pads help you tackle somebody.
Yeah, but a previous generation didn't have this.
Well, the previous generation didn't have the technology in their helmets and their shoulder pads that we have today.
How much does that help, having that technology in your helmet, when you have somebody who can calm you down, whisper to you while you're getting ready to call your play or getting up to the line of scrimmage?
Well, you don't have that much time to have a shrink jump on your headset and calm you down and talk. You only got 25 seconds. You got to get the play in, you got to relay the play and then get the snap off. But, you know, I do think, you know, that technology is great because especially as I got older in the league, I was way too fat and out of shape to run from the huddle to the sideline and back and forth in between every play, getting the play. So I needed that break to stand in the huddle and hear it through my headset.
Do you need to be in shape to be a quarterback?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Unlike pitchers, I've always heard people say that pitchers have to be in great, great shape to be a pitcher. I think you got to be in even better shape to play quarterback in the NFL.
Did you not lift? Did you not run? Like, what happened that you got fat?
I got old. I shouldn't have said fat. I just got old and I got tired, and all those hits start adding up. Having to go back and forth and shuttle plays in and out when I was 20, 22, 23 would have been a lot easier than when I was 38. So thankfully, when I was in my late 30s, I had that headset on.
You ever call a timeout because you're too tired?
Absolutely. I got to the bottom of a scrum, and it was a fumbled snap, and I had gotten back down on top of it. Everybody was laying on top of me, and I was playing for Bruce Arians in Arizona, and I was holding on to the ball so tightly, and somebody from the opposing team was trying to rip it out of my hands that my hand went numb, and I was worried that the next play was going to be a pass. And sure enough, Bruce called a pass. And the feeling hadn't come back in my hands yet because it was so fatigued for holding onto a ball and trying to maintain possession at the bottom of a pile. I had to call a timeout.
What's it like having Arians talk to you?
It's great. I mean, you look at Tampa Bay play now, and Brady doesn't have to deal with Arians MFing him in the huddle and over the headset because he's got Byron Leftwich, the offensive coordinator, calling the plays.
Wait, but Arians is MFing you while he's your offensive
all game long, me or the ref or somebody on the opposing team, you know, he would hit that button on his recorder and half of what he said was the play. The other half was him MFing the ref or maybe me from the previous play or somebody on the other sideline. But now that, you know, he can just, you know, coach the game and handle everything from the 40,000 foot level. And Byron Leftwich is calling plays. He seems like his blood pressure's dropped. And he just seems like he's in a happier place.
But how does that – I mean, Brady wanted to play with Bruce Arians. Do you understand why he would?
100%. I mean, any pocket passer would absolutely love that system. There's a ton – you watch Brady play the other night on Thursday. They're in empty, it seems like, a quarter of the game. They're just spreading people out. They're getting their best receivers on the field. And they're letting Tom Brady do what he does best, which is take his time and take his checkdowns, you know, take the completions and throw the big plays when they show up.
But what's he do better than you?
Brady?
Yeah.
Everything.
No, he doesn't do everything better than you.
He does September 13th, 2021. But, you know, I think the one thing you watched that last drive they had where they went down the field. And the one thing Brady does in 2-minute drills is he knows defenses are scared of him. And he takes and lets the defense get a ton of depth and create cushion. I mean, you watch that last drive where they went down and kicked the field goal. He didn't throw a ball over 10 yards. He just was dinking and dunking it. And the defense was backpedaling and getting depth and giving them cushion. And he was just throwing the ball to the running backs and the tight ends. And they would step out of bounds after an 8-yard gain. And it's the same thing we've seen Brady do in New England for years. He doesn't get rattled. He doesn't take chances and try to force the ball downfield. He takes what the defense gives him, and they end up with a seemingly easy drive at the end of the game for a field goal and a win.
Is Brady, what, 4 years older than you?
Brady is 3 years older than me. He's 44. I'm 41. It blows my mind saying that. It's crazy.
How long would it take for you to get ready to play in a game?
Oh, I mean, I could walk out and play in a game, but just as quickly as I walked in, I'd be walking off the field with a hamstring or a busted Achilles or a shoulder or something. I'm in no form to play right now.
Who was the toughest quarterback you faced?
Well, I never beat Brady. I was up. I played against Brady a bunch. I was up 21-0 in the first half in New England, and Richard Seymour took a low shot on me and almost blew my knee out. And I didn't end up finishing the game, but we were up 21-0. So I beat Brady for a half. That's my best game. I beat Brady for a half of a game.
But do you say this to your kids? Like, do you say, you know, dad owned Brady for one half?
I was driving home. I coach my kid's seventh grade football team, and I was driving home. Half the kids that live up by us, and I was dropping them off, and we're driving along, and one of the kids in the back seat told me that his second uncle, which I don't even know what a second uncle is, his second uncle tackled Tom Brady in college one time. And it really just made me made me realize how little these kids think of me. I'm their coach. They can care less that I played in the NFL. They're all out there in Russell Wilson jerseys and Seattle Seahawks gear, and they talk about Brady all the time. It drives me nuts.
They do know you played in the NFL for 15 years.
Yeah, but it's just like it was just such a blip on their radar. They couldn't wait to talk about Russell Wilson and letting Russ cook and Tom Brady. I don't even think they really realized or registered to him.
How's your USC Trojans?
That was a tough one. It's to see the stadium half full, to see it, you know, us being 17-point favorites and really get – I mean, it really wasn't a close game. We were – total. I mean, there were so many penalties and such a lack of discipline. It's really, really frustrating to watch those guys play this last weekend. But the good thing is it's week two. We've got a lot of football left.
Did you, you lost to Stanford on a last second play, didn't you?
That was a long time ago, Dan. I did. That's right. I lost to Chris Lewis. They threw a smash concept and they hit the corner at the end of the game for a touchdown on the last second. That's right. Good memory.
Yeah, I'm trying to bring up positives here. I'm sorry. It feels like I'm bringing up negatives. But you own Tom Brady for one half.
21-0.
Yeah. Yeah, you always have that over him.
Yeah, I'm sure he remembers that too.
Hey, great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us, bud.
Thanks, Dan.
That's Carson Palmer. Brought to you by CBD, Level Select CBD. Provides target relief and helps treat everyday discomfort when you need it the most. This is great. It's a great product. LevelSelectCBD.com, promo code DP30, $30 off your entire order today. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota. Yeah, I don't know why it just kind of dawned on me. USC just lost to Stanford, and then didn't you lose to Stanford on a last second play? Yeah. Whoops. Sorry about that. Note to self, have some positive things to say when you have a guest on. Yes. Can you imagine you're the quarterback and Bruce Arians is calling in the plays and he's MFing you or somebody else? But, you know, Brady doesn't have to worry about that because Bruce Arians isn't in his helmet. Yes, Paul.
Carson Palmer played like 15 years in the pros, went to USC. Yeah. He can't even bring like the Heisman Trophy to practice to show the kids because we have it.
I know.
Like if he wanted to show it to the kids, hey, Tom Brady doesn't have one of these. Russell Wilson doesn't have one of these.
I don't know if the kids would care.
A Heisman?
I don't know. I don't know if the kids know if they're that young. I don't think they care about a Heisman. Yes, McLovin.
I can't believe he's 3 years younger than Tom Brady.
I know.
He had a full career.
I know. Wild. Tyler in New Jersey. Hi, Tyler. Welcome to the program. Best and worst of the weekend.
6'1", 180. There we go. So my worst of the weekend is having a seizure at work. My best of the weekend is watching my Seattle Seahawks win this weekend.
Wait, what happened to you at work?
I had a seizure. I'm an EMT, so it was like the perfect place to have a seizure, you know?
Got
a bunch of EMTs and paramedics watching me, you know? It's great.
Okay. Okay, you might be the first person who's called whose best and worst of the weekend had to do with a seizure.
I'll take it.
Well, we're glad you're still with us there, Tyler. Thank you. I thought he said he had a seizure, like he was having a Caesar salad. I'm going, all right.
A bad Caesar salad could ruin your day.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt
like
about
when somebody
that.
Somebody says, what's the worst thing that happened to you this weekend? I had a Caesar.
Yeah.
A Caesar salad.
Bad Caesar salad.
You know, they just can't get good croutons, man.
Yeah.
You know, can't get good croutons. Let's take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Did you guys hear, did you think he said seizure?
He was blasé about it. Like, yeah, I had a seizure at work and then went home.
Yeah. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, he's like, go Hawks. It's like I came out on top at the end of the weekend.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my goodness. Do we get mileage out of a story? I have all these old stories I occasionally bring up to the Danettes. Just silly, silly references in my days at the mothership. Final results of the poll question, McLevin.
We put our three most nondescript team out of week one. Our New York football Giants ran away with it. Washington football team second.
Oh, congratulations to the New York football Giants.
NFC East. I mean, I know my Eagles are in first place, but I don't know about that division this year.
That was an impressive performance that the Eagles go on the road and rough up the Falcons. Because I thought the Falcons would be competitive this year. I don't know if they're going to be that good. Like Carolina looked a little better than I thought. And I remember, you know, some of the Vegas guys said, you know, Carolina's an interesting bet for the over. They also had the Lions as an over this year. I don't do the over-unders, but I am always intrigued at the number that they come up with. Because there'll be times when you go, gosh, can they win 13 games? Or do you think they're only going to win 9 games? And it feels like there's a lot of teams that are around 9 or 10 wins this year. But you've added another game as well. That has to be factored in. Yeah, McLevin.
Feels unfair that you have four really good teams in the NFC West. I mean, I know it's only week one, but spread the wealth a little bit because, I don't know, like I feel like the Cardinals are getting sort of short shrifted having to play in that division.
Yeah, you're right. Max Scherzer went over 3,000 strikeouts. The Dodgers are 28-11 since they traded for Scherzer and Trey Turner. Yet they've only picked up a half a game on the Giants over that stretch. Ooh, boy. Here comes the wild card.
Stat of the day. Whoa. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
More phone calls. This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have?
Got a couple. They're not that juicy. John McEnroe in 81 won his third consecutive U.S. Open. Faye Vincent, 89, was named Major League Baseball commissioner, taking over Bart Giamatti.
Mm-hmm.
And in Oakland, California, Frank Francisco, a relief pitcher, threw a chair into a right field box seats during a fight. And
oh, yes, I remember
that. We were on the air that week.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Do you realize this player, not known for home runs, once led the American League in home runs? You guys want to guess? This guy was known as one of the great hitters of all time. And you would never guess that he once led the American League in home runs. Paul?
Based off your hint, is he an old-time player?
Yeah.
Ted Williams?
No.
Ooh.
McLevin?
This is the dumbest question ever, but he converted to Judaism. Rod Carew?
No. Todd?
Ricky Henderson?
No. Ty Cobb? Ty Cobb led the American League in 1909 with 9 home runs, all inside the park home runs.
How big was the park?
Oh, they were spacious back then.
Oh, is that before they really started hitting home runs?
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Let me see. What else do we have? John Elway's jersey, number 7, retired by the Broncos.
And the number 7 up on the scoreboard.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have the John Elway jersey in here.
What's the left of it?
Oh. It's got stains all over the glass,
okay,
though. Yeah, it's It's like creepy stuff.
Walk the old black light.
Yeah, no, we don't want it. No, you don't want to do that. Todd really loves John Elway.
CSI Denver.
Yeah. All right, some more phone calls here. Let me see. Doug in New Jersey. Hi, Doug.
Good morning, Danny.
Good morning.
6'8", 260.
All right.
I got my best and worst for the weekend, and in poly fashion, I'll start with my worst.
Okay.
On Sunday, I hosted a couple of Steelers fans over at my house to watch my Bills play.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, as a Bills and a Cubs fan, I'm used to not meeting expectations. But the best was on Saturday. I got together with 40 or so colleagues of mine, as well as some of their families, to remember the day we escaped the South Tower on 9/11. We were on the 26th floor, and thankfully everybody in our offices was able to escape. Unfortunately, one of the members of our company was out of Boston and was on American 11. But those of us that were in the building were lucky enough to get out. And it's really nice getting together and seeing friends and seeing their families and kind of reminiscing on what we've accomplished and what we've done in the 20 years since.
But how much time did you get advance notice, though, Doug, to get out of the South Tower?
I was actually on a conference call in the meeting room that day, and my manager was had a window office, and we were not aware of what was going on until she started screaming about something happening. And since she usually worked in Central Jersey, we couldn't understand what was going on, but then we realized she was in the offices that day. We saw what was going on outside our windows, after I saw a look of horror in a friend's face, I kind of decided it was time to leave. I actually was engaged to my wife to be married in 18 days, and as I ran out of the building, I yelled out to some people in my office to make sure that they exited the building. We thought there had been an explosion of some sort, and I had made it downstairs to the mezzanine section just outside near Century 21, and unfortunately I had never heard anything. There's a lot of chaos going on, obviously, at that time when we were down, even on the mezzanine section level, but before I walked out of the buildings, and I was standing just next to the building looking up at the fire in the building when I saw the second plane fly through. So it was, I don't remember much other than snippets of memories for about the next hour, just as it kind of meandered around the city. But I've never had so much pride in who we were as Americans and how we all reached out to each other on that day to grab each other, strangers that you'd never seen, that were just horrified by the things we saw that day. Just grabbing people, holding each other. It was, it's always a tough day, and this year was a little harder than most. But it was really good to see them and good to kind of gather once again.
Doug, thank you. Thanks for that remembrance. If you get a chance to watch 60 Minutes from last night, it's powerful. It was tough to watch, but it's important to watch. They did a wonderful job with the stories of 9/11. Let's go around the room. What we learned on the program. Todd, I'll start with you. What did you learn?
You don't like when an analyst says a team is well coached. It shows they don't really know much about the roster at all.
Yeah. If that's the case, then tell me when they're not well coached. It's kind of a throwaway line. McLovin?
It was almost right. Rod Crew almost won the home run title. 1977, his career high 14 homers. Was only 39 behind George Foster.
Seton, what did you learn?
Chandler Jones might be a Hall of Famer.
Paulie, what did you learn?
Joe Burrow off Twitter.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for all the phone calls, emails, tweets, the all-around support. We're going to do it again tomorrow. For Seton, Paulie, Fritzy, McLovin, yours truly, this has been the Dan Patrick Show. Have yourself a great Monday, everybody. I'll talk to you tomorrow. One more item as we close out this show. You want targeted relief on some muscles. You want something to help with everyday discomfort. You get something that provides relief when you need it the most. And thanks to Level Select CBD Sports Creams and Roll-Ons, they come to the rescue. Good enough for pros like Carson Palmer, Ricky Fowler, and Steve Garvey. It's good enough for you. When you finish golfing or lifting weights or running around the neighborhood, your body doesn't recover the way it used to. And it's all about sore muscles, post-workout discomfort. But this works. starts immediately. Level Select CBD, formulated with doctors, high concentration of CBD allows me to work out immediately, and there's 0% THC in there. I apply Level Select 3, the sports cream, directly to a sore spot, and then it has this proprietary blend of CBD that goes to work. Go to levelselectcbd.com, use the promo code DP30, $30 off your entire order. $30 off levelselectcbd.com, promo code DP30, not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota.